Well, good morning. Here I am. I am your pulpit supply. You guys ever heard that term before? Pulpit supply. When I spoke at Parksburg last time, I got copied on an email from the pastor that was there and said, "Can you get a hold of your pulpit supply and ask if he can do a different date?" I'm like, "Pulpit supply?" I called Robert. I'm like, "What?" And he just laughed. He goes, "That's an old term." But anyway, so. Well, 2 weeks ago now, or maybe 3 weeks ago, I turned 50. So this is my first sermon over 50. Yesterday, we ran our first race in a new age group, and the Lord does, he finds ways of humbling me every single time. Beth and I ran a race yesterday. I felt pretty good. I ran the first mile, I looked, I'm like, I'm moving pretty good, I'm going to go for it, see if I can place for the first time in my new age group. I finish, we go up, Beth goes, "What'd you get?" I said, "I got third," and they give out the first, you know, the first three get an award, so I was like, "That's great." And then she looks, she goes, "Well, those numbers are the same as mine, how could there be the same number of females as there was males?" And she looked, they had me listed as a female. So, we're like, oh, I didn't come in third. So then we go and find someone and say, "Can we get a change to male?" Well, then it dropped me down to, I think, sixth. So I didn't place in my age group. It was one of my better times, but clearly the 50-year-olds still like to run hard, too. So I don't think I'm going to place in my age group anytime soon. And unfortunately, Beth moved her up to fourth because I finished ahead of Beth. So I was third, she was fifth, and it moved her up to fourth. So she almost placed, but so anyway. So yeah, the Lord humbles me all the time. So let me start you off with this. During the French Revolution, there were three Christians who were sentenced to die by the guillotine. One Christian had the gift of faith, the other had the gift of prophecy, the other had the gift of helps. The Christian with the gift of faith was to be executed first. He was asked if he wanted to wear a hood over his head. He declined and he said he was not afraid to die. "I have faith that God will deliver me," he shouted bravely. His head was positioned under the guillotine. With his neck on the chopping block, he looked at the sharp blade, said a short prayer, and waited confidently. The rope was pulled, but nothing happened. His executioners were amazed, and believing this must have been an act of God, they freed the man. The Christian with the gift of prophecy was next. His head was positioned under the guillotine blade, and he too was asked if he wanted a hood. "No," he said, "I'm not afraid to die. However, I predict that God will deliver me from this guillotine." At that, the rope was pulled again, and nothing happened, and once again, the puzzled executioner assumed this must be a miracle of God, and they freed the man. The third Christian with the gift of helps was next. He was brought to the guillotine and likewise asked if he wanted to wear a hood. "No," he said, "I'm just as brave as those other two guys." The executioner then positioned him face up under the guillotine, about to pull the rope, when the man stopped them and said, "Hey, wait a minute, I think I found the problem with your guillotine." So, how many people know people like that? I guarantee you, my son-in-law, he's not here right now. Alex, my son-in-law, I guarantee you would have been that guy. He would have been the guy that saw the problem and said, "Oh, I see your problem. Okay, great." So, anyways, that's what he would have done. But so, I want to take you back. I'm going to move around a lot today, guys, because I do, unfortunately, my back does hurt, so I got to keep moving, otherwise it locks up on me. So I'm going to move a lot, so just stay with me. Hopefully, you know. Anyway, so Christmas Day. Go back to a Christmas Day when you were a kid. And that one, everyone's been through it, I'm sure, where you had that one gift that you asked for. Everyone probably remembers that one Christmas where you were going to get that special gift, where you've been asking all year, you were excited to get it, you asked your parents, you begged your parents, and the excitement, the anticipation of that day coming because you felt maybe this was the year. It could have been a bike, it could have been a musical instrument, it could have been any, and just about anything. But think about that day, and think about how excited you were and how you just couldn't wait for that day to get here. I mean, it's like the beginning of December, and you're like, "Oh my goodness, can't Christmas get here fast enough? It's 25 days, and you want that day to come." And some of you, like myself, may have been too excited, and you went snooping to find that gift. And now I grew up with just my mom, and she worked a lot, so I had the house to myself a lot. And when you're living in an apartment, there's only so many places you can hide a gift. So I would snoop. So I remember that one day. For us, my mom had just actually remarried. And I have a brother and a sister. And I'm not sure how many of you remember this, but I'm sure most of you do. Atari. You guys remember Atari, right? It was like one of the first awesome games that you could play on TV. You could hook it up to your TV, and you played Asteroids or Space Invaders, and whatever it was. And we wanted an Atari, and we felt maybe this year we could get that Atari. And we actually found the Atari. And the thing is, so we knew it was coming. We couldn't wait for the day. The day comes, we open the present, and I think I oversold it. I'm pretty sure my mom knew, I knew beforehand, that I was getting that Atari. But anyway, the excitement that was building to get that Atari, I was beside myself for the whole month because all my friends had it, and I never had anything like that. So it was just this awesome excitement of getting an Atari. Well, today we're going to talk about another kind of gift. It's the kind of gift that God's going to give you, that God gives you. And it's a spiritual gift, and it's a gift that should bring you more excitement, more joy, more anticipation than anything you've ever received on Christmas, on birthday, anniversary, whatever. It's that spiritual gift. We're going to continue our study of 1 Peter. So let's first start with, I want to start at verse 7. So 1 Peter 4, 7 and 8. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. Now, I love verse 8. Verse 8 says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. I love that verse. It speaks to me every time I see it. I really feel if more of this world would read that verse and live by that verse, this world would be a better place. Show deep love to each other. And here's the thing. Since I've walked in these doors, I mean, Cheryl touched on it a little bit too. Since I walked in these doors several years ago, you guys are awesome at showing deep love for each other. And that's true. I'm not just saying that because I'm standing in front of you and I don't want to build you up. It is true. You guys show incredible love to each other. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. I've been a part of it. But the thing is it enough? Are we doing enough just because we show deep love to each other inside these walls? I mean, if someone loses a family member, if someone is having a hard time, yes, we're great at that. But are we doing enough? Are we using our spiritual gifts in other ways other than when people are in hurting or in need at that moment? What are we doing for our church to raise this church up, to make this church the best it can be? As a congregation, we love each other, and I love that. And I've been a part of it, and I don't ever want to see that change. But let's look at verses 10 and 11 then. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. So I want to talk about your spiritual gift. You see, you've been given a gift from God, and it's a very special gift. And again, like I said, it is one that should bring you joy and anticipation and excitement. But here's the thing, is that gift was not given to you for you to hang on to as if it's yours, as if it's meant for just you. That gift was given to you so that you can use it other places. You're not supposed to be selfish with that spiritual gift, okay? You're supposed to take that gift. It was never, ever meant for you to hang on to selfishly. It's always for you to give to someone else, to use it in other ways. That's why you've been blessed with that gift. So first, let's take note that each has received a gift. Gifts are not for a few, but for all of us. The minute you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit will give you a spiritual gift. He might give you several. But either way, you're given a spiritual gift. That's the minute you accept Jesus. Okay? And it should be this ultimate joy and discovery that you just received this gift. And if you find that gift, if you realize what that gift is, the excitement level in you should be just overflowing to go and use that gift But the honesty, the problem is, in my opinion, is how badly do you want to find that gift? How badly do you want to know what that gift is? And how badly do you want to use that gift to serve others? I mean, all of us have lives where we're busy, and we do think we have families, we have jobs, we have things we want to do. And sometimes the realization that you have a gift that you could use might weigh you down, where you're thinking, now I've got to use this. It's going to take up more of my time. Do I really have that time? So you might ignore that gift, or you might not be thinking about that gift because you don't want to realize that that gift is something you can use to further God's kingdom. So to me, that's part of the first problem, is realizing you have that gift and not ignoring that gift. I mean, what we should be doing here at New Danville every day or every week is finding what that gift is, realizing what that gift is, and finding a way that we can use it, not just inside these walls, but outside these walls. Okay, we're phenomenal in so many areas, but are we doing enough? Are we really using all of our spirit gifts? Is everybody pitching in? Another observation from Peter 4:11 is that grace can be dispersed through gifts which are word-oriented or deed-oriented. Okay, you can either use your words for your spiritual gift, be able to show grace to others, or you can do it through deed. Whoever renders service, let him do it as one who renders it by the strength which God supplies. So if your gift involves practical deeds of service, do not try to do them on your own strength. Okay? Your strength is not enough. You need God's strength, and that's what your spiritual gift should do. You should let God work through you with that spiritual gift. So whether it's, again, through word, if you're going into a situation or you know someone's hurting, don't trust yourself to try to make that situation better. Trust the Lord. Pray to God to give you the words to talk through that situation. I've shared this before, and I'll share it again and again and again. When I got that call from that gentleman that wanted to shoot himself that night, I was several miles away. He said, I have a gun to my head. Talk me out of this. There was nothing I said that night, and I promise you, I don't remember what I said. It was all God. I prayed as hard and as fast as I possibly could to God to give me the words, because I could not get to this guy in time before he would take his own life. And that was the biggest experience I've ever had of God taking over and taking charge. He basically just came into me and used me as a vessel to talk to this guy. He blessed me that night, and he blessed this guy. It happens. Give it to the Lord. Give it. I mean, if you fully want to give it to God and you ask God for it, he will give it to you. So then grace can be dispersed to others either by gifts or words or deeds. If we speak with words and act with strength that God supplies, make sure you're using God in everything you do. The final point of this text is that in everything, God might be glorified through Jesus Christ. That means that God's aim in giving us this gift is giving us the faith to exercise them, and that his glory might be displayed. This is all for God, okay? This is not about you. This is not a pride thing. This isn't for you. This is for God. This is bringing glory and honor to God and building his kingdom. Not all gifts. You might be gifted, okay? So stay with me here. You might be gifted. Mark, it can work on a car. He's really, really good at it. Okay, that's a gift. He can fix vehicles. Marty, incredible singer, songs, everything. I've seen Don build this stage. I mean, we've seen where people are blessed and gifted. But here's the thing. If you're not doing it to bring glory and honor to God in some way, then it's not a spiritual gift. Okay, it's not spiritual if you're not using it in a way to reach God's people and his kingdom. Okay, you can have all the ability in the world. I like to think, I love to motivate people. I love it when I coach. I'm sure you guys can see it in me. I'm an excited guy. I get really amped up, and I love to fire people up, and I love to get people just to get to that point. Yeah, let's go get them. You know, that's what I like. And so one example was, I coached Lancaster Christian High School for 7 years. I was the assistant coach. And I was known as the guy that, you know, the fiery guy, the guy that that kind of got them pumped up. Well, there was one game in particular. We'd finally gotten to a point where we were the best team in the league. That whole week of practice, we didn't practice hard. We were playing the last place team. And we got to the place where we needed to be, but we needed that win. We go to this other school, and we played a horrible, I don't know how many innings it was. It was bad. We were getting stomped. Our guys were making errors. It was bad. The coach was mad. The end of the inning, we were out in the field. The end of the inning's coming up. We got to come in and bat. I looked at my coach. I said, I got this. He just laughed and goes, okay. I met them out on the field before they could get to the dugout. And I went off in a way that I didn't use swear words or anything like that. But it was not God-oriented. It wasn't using any kind of thing that God gave me. I just let them know how I felt about the way they were playing. And I just went ballistic on them about how badly they were playing, how embarrassed they should be, blah, 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 blah. We came in. I go out to first base. I didn't even come into the dugout. I went out and coached first base. We scored 10 runs that inning, at the bottom half of that inning. And we ended up 10 running this team in 2 innings. Now, it turned out that the guys were probably more afraid of me than they were of losing. But nothing I did was God-based. And it's not a story. I mean, it was funny at the time. The coach laughed because I don't know what you said. But it wasn't anything I used from God, okay? I used it all personally. I used my own ego, my own fire inside of me to yell at these guys. So that's not a spiritual gift. Someone say, well, you're gifted. No, that was not a gift that day. The gift would have been to show grace and try to find another way to motor them through God, not the way I did it, okay? So I want to look a little bit further at these gifts. In Romans 1, 11 and 12, I'm just going to read the whole thing to you, 11 and 12. For I long to, this is from Paul. Paul said this, for I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gifts that will help you grow strong in the Lord. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. The first and most obvious thing is spiritual gifts are to strengthen others. We are to use our spiritual gifts to strengthen others. They are not given to be hoarded, like I said. He is not referring to bodily strength, but the strength of faith. To strengthen someone by spiritual gift means to help their faith not give away as easily when troubled times are happening. So when we lose a loved one, when someone leaves us, when our kid, I mean, there's lots of things that we can get mad at the Lord about or start to lose faith because things are happening, but we could lose a job or whatever. Our gifts are to try to encourage that person, to give them the faith to stay strong in that hard time, in their time of trouble. That's what our gifts are meant to do. We got to build that person up and help them to build their faith because that's the time when they're weakest and that's the time that the devil's going to attack them the most and tell them that God, you don't need God. God did this to you. And that's where our spiritual gifts come into play, is we have to be the one to encourage them through our faith. Okay? We have spiritual gifts in order to help other people keep faith and maintain an even keel in life storms. The reason we have spiritual gifts is so that we can strengthen other people's faith. There are two issues, like I talked about, first of all, do you even want to know what your gift is? And, you know, do you want to go looking? But another thing about spiritual gifts is, first of all, a lot of people aren't confident in their spiritual gift. And so they'll think, am I not good enough? Am I really good enough for this? And the other thing is, am I worthy of a spiritual gift? Am I worthy of sharing that gift with others? I can tell you this right now. If it's a spiritual gift that's been given to you by the Holy Spirit, by God, it's meant to be used to others. And you might be worried or thinking you're not worthy of that gift. You are. Okay? My best brother, Tom, who's passed away, he dealt with so many demons. And he would disappear for times on end, years, okay? But every year they would still get him a Christmas gift. It was their son. Beth would still get him a Christmas gift. And eventually he'd come back around. We knew he'd come back around. And there were his gifts. And he refused to open them. He never opened the gifts because he didn't feel he earned them. He didn't feel that he was worthy of those gifts. They would sit up in the room that they had for him. Honestly, eventually, sometimes if they knew it was clothing or whatever, we were about the same size, they'd just tell me to go open that up and do whatever because Tom's not going to open it. So Tom felt that he wasn't good enough. He didn't feel that he deserved that love from us. And some of you might feel that way with your spiritual gift. Some of you may feel like, well, look at what I've done in the past, or look at how I came up. I'm telling you right now, the way I came up and what I've done in the past, I could have those same feelings. But God has blessed me, and he's blessed you too. Listen, none of us, if we're honest, none of us deserve anything from God, a spiritual gift, let alone anything, because of what we've done. Because we're all sinners. We've all sinned. We've all made mistakes. We've all had stuff in the past. We may have done stuff just yesterday. And we would have no reason. We'd be so bold to say, God, give me that spiritual gift. And who would blame God for saying, no, I know you. I've seen inside you. But that's not what God is. He's all about love. And God gives you that gift. Your sins are forgiven. Okay, so don't think you're not worthy of getting that gift. So imagine how a parent would feel as you're a parent on Christmas Day. Let's say your kids opened up their presents and they just set them aside, never even opened it. They just opened it up, thank you, and put it aside. Never bothered to open the box, never bothered to look inside and see what all they could do with it. That's what you're doing to God if you're not using that spiritual gift. He's given you that spiritual gift. If you're not really looking into that gift and figuring out how you can do something better for this church, for outside this church, in some way to bring glory and honor to God, then you're insulting God, just like you would your parents or your kids do to you if they don't appreciate a gift you gave them. Just think, we give them these little gifts, $20, $30, $40. Think how hurt we are. Okay, true story. Since he's not here, I'm going to say his name. Alex, 2 years ago. All right? Okay, my kids clearly have seen me speak enough because none of them are here. But so I'm going to talk about them. 2 years ago, we got Alex a whole bunch of gifts. And he opened them, stacked them up, put them in Emily's room, and not one of those gifts left our house. For over a year, they sat there, still packaged, still in the wrapper, not one. When we went to move them, and we walked in the room like, are you kidding? I said we should wrap them all again. that was my thing. Well, let's wrap him again. Give him to him again. See what he does with them this time. It's hurtful. Okay, it hurt best feelings. It hurt. It's hurtful. But that's exactly what we're doing to God if we take that gift and go set it in a corner. If it's for a day, if it's for a week, if it's for a year, if it's for 2 years, it's hurtful. You're supposed to be using that gift. And God's not going to rewrap it. He gave it to you once. He doesn't need to rewrap it, okay? So what I would encourage you to do with your gift is wake up every morning. First of all, obviously give thanks to the Lord for that day. And I would encourage you to try this, to wake up and say, God, how today can I use my gift to affect somebody's faith today? Just start with one person. Ask God to put one person in your life today. It could be a church member. There's plenty of us that need it. There really are. Beth and I know this. You know this. There's plenty of us inside these walls that need somebody to use your spiritual gift to lift you up in some way, whether it's help by words, by deeds, whatever it is. But just ask. Try that in the morning. Ask God and be honest and be sincere. Sincerely want that to happen in your life. Okay? So in verse 12, I'm not going to read all this. I know we're getting late. So in verse 12, he talks about he wants to be encouraged by their faith. Okay, so verse 11, Paul talks about he wants to strengthen their faith. And then the very next sentence, he talks about wanting to be encouraged by theirs. Okay, so in verse 11, he aims to strengthen them. In verse 12, he aims to encourage them. In verse 11, he strengthens faith through spiritual gifts. In verse 12, he is encouraged by others' faith. So to sum it up, A spiritual gift is an ability given by the Holy Spirit to express our faith effectively, whether spoken or through our actions, for the strengthening of someone else's faith. Okay, Paul teaches this, and we're to be humble. We can't be prideful with this gift. Okay, our gifts might look small. You might think my gift doesn't matter. Okay, my gift is this. It's just down here. Okay, there is no gift too small. Okay, if it's a gift given to you by God, it's meant to be used. Okay, so we have so many things to be thankful for and blessed with in this church. And if you're honest and you evaluate yourself and you look for that spiritual gift, it's all important. Okay, I'm gonna cut a lot of this out. I want to get to this. This is kind of neat. So a man broke his left arm. One night he couldn't sleep. He imagined a dialogue. He imagined a dialogue between his right and left hands. Right hand said, "Left hand, you were not missed. Everybody's glad it was you that was broken and not me. You were not very important." Left hand asked, "How are you superior?" The right hand replied, "Why, my owner cannot write a letter without me." The left hand, "But who holds the paper on which he writes?" The right hand, who swings the hammer?" The left hand, "Who holds the nail?" Right hand, "Who guides the plane when the carpenter smooths a board?" The left hand, "Who studies the board?" Okay, the right hand, "When our owner walks down the street and lifts his hat to greet someone, which of us does it use?" The left hand, "Who holds the briefcase while he does it?" Then he continued, "Let me ask you a question. When our owner shaved yesterday, you held the razor, but his face is cut because I wasn't there to help. Also, our owner's watch was stopped. Why? You may do the winding, but if I'm not here to hold it, the watch won't get wound. You can't take money out of his wallet to pay for something because I'm not there to hold it. The master can do very few things without me. So too does each of us have a place of service for the Lord. None is greater, just different." Okay? So none is greater, just different. Just because I get up here and I speak, okay, it doesn't mean that I don't feel this great, I'm up here. No, I'm nervous every time I get up here. I shake before I walk up on this stage because I don't want to say the wrong thing, and I want to make sure I reach you guys. I want to make sure that I say something that I want God through me to get to you. And I'm hoping that I can motivate somebody in here today. You younger guys, this really is for you. Find your spiritual gift and get involved. Okay? A lot of us older people, we probably know what that spiritual gift is, but if you haven't figured it out, figure it out. I beg you, please find that spiritual gift. So I'm going to wrap it up. There's a lot more, obviously, I want to say about it, but there's really not much more that needs to be said. We have a spiritual gift. Every single one of them is important. Okay? We've seen, there's a list of them. If you ever want to see a list, find one of the leaders. I have a list. Just kind of guide you. It's in the Bible. It gives you a list of what some spiritual gifts are. But they are very important. They're very important in growing this church. None is too small. We need people that do the cleaning. We need people that do the... I mean, I'm telling you right now, you don't want my spiritual gift to be parking cars on the day of the auto show. I mean, you guys are standing out there and park cars at the auto show. That's an awesome thing. Because I'm telling you right now, if I was parking cars and you didn't go where I said to go, I would not be too happy. Back when I was in school, we had driver's ed. I don't think they have it anymore. But on Saturdays, we had to go up to the school, the big parking lot, and we had to drive, and we had to learn to drive. And our teacher was the wrestling coach, and he had this great walk, and he was so big and built, and he'd just walk around, and he'd bounce his ball. The whole time, he's bouncing a ball, walking through the parking lot, watching you. And if you did something wrong, that ball would bounce off your car. It would scare you. So... that's how I was raised. So you don't want me parking cars, okay? But those are the gifts that we need. We need things like that. It is a gift because you're helping to use to grow the Lord's kingdom, and that's what we need to do, okay? So I'm going to wrap this up. Now, look, guys, I do enjoy speaking. Now, you guys know my heart. I've made this clear for the last couple years, your salvation. And I've taken a break from really preaching to you guys about your salvation. All right. It's not that it's not important to me. I don't want you guys to get to the point of, oh, Keith's going to get up there and talk about my salvation again. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm speaking again in a couple weeks. Okay. And it's one of the messages that I can't wait to bring to you. And I really hope you guys are here. It's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. It's something that's going to reach each and every one of you, and every one of you is going to be challenged that day. And if you think I'm fired up now, where do you see me on that day? This one came to me while I was running. My whole run went as fast as I could because I just couldn't get it. I mean, it just came to me. God was speaking to me the whole time. I'm listening to my music, so I want you guys to be here. Your salvation is important. So I'm going to leave it at that. If you aren't saved, if you're looking to be saved, if you want to talk to someone about your salvation, please talk to me, an elder, any other deacon, somebody, because your salvation is important. And I'm telling you, in 3 weeks, I'm going to challenge you. So I hope to see you then. Again, thank you. I guess let's pray, and then we'll bring the worship team up. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Lord, I just hope that you're reaching these people today, that people are looking for that spiritual gift, that they find that gift. Once they realize what it is, that they have the courage and the strength and the power to use it, that they're not afraid of that gift, that they take a hold of it with both hands and they just make it theirs and they do something to bring glory and honor to you. Because that's what this is all about. That's what our gifts are for, is to bring honor, glory, praise you in all ways, Lord. And I really want that for this congregation, for the people out there that don't know what that gift is. Help them to realize what it is. Help lead them to where it is that they're going to find that gift, and help them to realize just how much better, as awesome as this congregation is and how much we do, how much better we could even be just as a church inside and outside these walls by using those spiritual gifts, Lord. They're so, so special. And Lord, we thank you so much for those spiritual gifts that you've blessed all of us with. And I thank you that even though we may not earn them or deserve them, you still give them to us because they're free just like your love, Lord. Thank you so much for this day and for this time that we had together. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.